I just wanted to say hi. This is my very, very first time tuning in to you, so I'm very, very pleased I'm able to do that.
Oh, well, welcome, and we're so happy to have you. And
thank you very much.
I hope this won't be the last time you tune in.
Yeah, no, I want to find out all about how to become a blessings giver, because I would like to become one. So the conversation you just had with Margaret, I guess, was timely.
Mara. That was with Mara.
Mara, sorry.
And Mara might be closer to you than I am. You might want to talk with Mara and see if she could help you out.
Terrific. Thank you.
But we do have blessing conferences at least once a year live with me where we meet in a hotel and blessing givers come together from all over the world, and it is a really, really powerful event for the blessings offer the world and for each other. So it would be great.
Wonderful.
If you could,
when is it this year?
We'll just stay in touch with us. Contact me anytime. Any of you that ever want to contact me, just write CARE, that's C-A-R-E, at spiritus.org, S-P-I-R-I-T-I-S.org. You can find that address on our website. And all of the emails, even though they go to the office, they're also all copied to me. So if someone has a personal message for me, I'll get it. So I'm going to go through the call board and see who else is on. But it was really nice speaking with you, and
look forward
to having you again. I'm going to see who else is maybe wanting to say something. We do this the first 10 or 15 minutes of our call. Oh, and there's Nancy. Hi, Nancy. You're on.
Hello, how are you all doing? Anyway, this is Nancy, and I'm by Austin. My mother had a stroke in August, and she was having trouble with speaking, and she could not use her right side. Well, now her speech is better. She's very able to swallow foods better and is, you know, doing really well-ish. But she is 91, and I was wondering, whenever I pray or I get upset, and I ask God, I've asked God why a number of times, I usually just end by, please just let her be happy. And if that means her passing on or getting better or staying the same, that's basically what I ask, is just let her be happy.
That's a great way to close. Here's another wonderful thing you can add to your prayer, which is always part of every blessing. And that is, please, God, allow each person to know some small part of their perfection. You know, when we live in this third-dimensional world, we're always faced with problems and challenges and things we don't know how to do or can't do, or struggles, or various aspects of our illusionary imperfection. But that's just the practical side of swimming upstream in this little red schoolhouse where we're learning through experience how to master life. Okay? And if we would look at it that way, we would never identify with our struggles as if they were imperfections. But that's where we get in trouble. We start to see all of our challenges and our imperfections as something we identify with that, well, I'm not very good at this. I'm not a good person, or I'm stupid, or I can't get along with others, or nobody likes me, or you know the whole, we've all been there. We've all said about everything we can say to each other of a derogatory nature, a limiting nature. And sometimes these things we say would be true if we would direct them outwardly from ourselves and say, well, that was a really stupid thing to do. I'm going to learn how to not do that in the future and do better. It's when we point it back at ourselves and we say, I'm stupid. We put a black veil over our perfection. And then we lose our power to heal ourselves. In the beginning, we're told when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, not only were they perfect, but they were given every food that they would ever need for their medicine and their nourishment, meaning that all the creation of the earth was also in its perfection. But instead, they preferred to go out into the world and acquire knowledge. In other words, acquire the kind of knowledge that comes from struggling and overcoming problems, being in confrontation with things and then either winning or losing and then licking your wounds and learning from it. Yeah, we've all been there. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. So we forget that in the beginning, we were created in the image of God. And what does that mean? I want to really, really talk about what that actually means. Because for the most part, we think that's a metaphor. And I guess it is, in a way, a symbolic metaphor, because I don't think God was first a human being, and as a human being, then created the universe. That seems kind of silly, doesn't it? Okay, what it really, really means is that you are created from the pure essence of God. And the far more practical thing that it means is that you were first created in perfection. And then you acquired confusion, lack of knowledge, imperfection, or inability, or disability, or illness, or whatever. We go through, look at the beautiful little babies that are born, absolutely perfect little creatures. Then we look at our parents getting old and having a failing of this and that body part or this and that organ, and we think, oh God, just please take them back to their perfection. And surely he will. In the meantime, though, so that we can enjoy being with them just a little while longer, let us wish them and ourselves to find just a few more pieces of perfection in our life, in our daily life, where we can know ourselves as the child of God that we really are. It's in this state of perfection that we actually have the true knowledge to know who can be our friend, the true knowledge to know what kind of food would be nourishing for us, the true knowledge to know what our life's work should be and what would be fulfilling, where we could go or what we could do to be regenerated and renewed, because we're in our true self. And I really believe that this is why Yeshua went to the desert periodically, because just imagine the world he lived in with the horrible oppression, disease, poverty, people dying of starvation every day, people being tortured and killed every day, people coming to him and begging him to heal their life. And if you read carefully the scriptures, you'll find that he didn't heal everybody. And the ones he did, he always asked first if they were ready to be made whole. And then he concluded by saying, by your faith you were made whole. So you see, what he was actually working with something that the apostles didn't quite know how to relate literally. But if you read carefully, you can see what it was. And that is, he consulted some part of their perfection. And then he worked with that perfection to make them whole again. But not everybody coming to him could. The one thing he didn't want to do was impose some illusion of temporary healing on top of imperfections that had never been addressed. He wanted people to be whole again. Being whole again is all any of us need. That was the lesson of the painting. It's tear. It's healing the next day. To be whole again is to discover some little part of perfection inside us. Despite the fact that we see all these things that report our weakness back to us, there's something good in everybody. There's something wonderful in each one of you. And I know you can find it. And this is really all he and the apostles were teaching and preaching in the first century of Christianity about repentance. He wasn't teaching people that you're evil and horrible. He was teaching people that somewhere inside each one of you is something perfect. Now go and find it. Do you know that the word repent literally means turn back around and go in the other direction? Instead of traveling further and further, deeper and deeper into your imperfection, you turn back around, face God, and start looking for what's good about yourself. And this works not only spiritually, but if you want to turn your business around, if you want to turn your relationships around, you want to turn your family around, start looking for what's good. It'll do it every time. That's the miracle. There's something good in everybody. There's something good in everything. There's a lesson that could be learned. The thing is, you could even find something good in a man who robbed you. Let's say he tricked you and he robbed you and he ran away with your money. And you say, well, Glenda, what good is there in that? Well, I'll tell you a few things that are good. One is a man who couldn't ask for help did ask for help in the only way he knew how. If you really release your judgment and let him have that help, then you have assisted a man in asking for help. Another thing, you got to learn firsthand that some people are really, really desperately hurting. It's not easy for us to see that behind the bubbles we live in, where we think that ascending out of the third dimension into higher dimensions is all about finding this bubble we can wrap around ourselves, separate ourselves from the world, and then just take an elevator ride up to some clear blue heaven. My friends, that isn't the way it happens. Yeshua went out and he walked with the poor. He sat with the lepers. He gave water to the thirsty. He multiplied the fish because he found one fish he could love enough, and he turned that one fish into thousands of fishes. He asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Why do you think he would ask Peter that? For of all the things in the universe, wouldn't he think that Peter would love him? Of all the things... Peter had actually seen him go through the transfiguration. Peter had seen him perform healings. Peter had professed his love to him. Why did Jesus, Yeshua, ask him three times, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I do. The answer is very simple. Yeshua wanted Peter to find that part inside himself that loved Yeshua. He wanted that part that loved Yeshua to be the one that went out into the world and taught and helped and healed people. He didn't want the part of Peter that just admired him, or that just had witnessed him do miracles, or that had just told good stories about him, to go out into the world, because that grows thin, my friends. No matter how many good stories you tell, eventually it grows thin. Do you know what has kept me going for 24 years with this love and this passion in my voice? Is because when I get in front of people, I don't think about what I'm supposed to say. All I think about is one thing. I love you, Yeshua, and I love whoever I'm going to be talking with. And it's from that place that I find my inner perfection. Now, I'm far from perfect as a total, all put together human being. There are times when I worry. There are times I get anxious. There are times I wonder if I'll have the strength to get up and do my day's work. There are times when I get exasperated with people who won't write me or won't show up or won't let me know how they're doing or feeling, or I try to help them and no matter what I do, they just keep slipping back, and I get, you know, I'm as human as you are. The only difference is because I knew Yeshua face to face, because I got to talk to him face to face, I got to learn at least one place inside me that absolutely, totally loves him and absolutely, totally knows he loves me. And that's enough. That's enough. That's why he asked Peter three times. He wanted Peter to focus upon that. Now, you're going to have to find that place of perfection within yourself. And when you find it, your life will be transformed. And all the rest is just scenery. All the rest is just stories that you look at on the billboards along the road of your life. That's all it is. It's something that you, it's a movie. That's a good way to look at it. Like we go to movies and then we come out and we say, thank God I don't have to do that now. Somebody else did it and taught me that lesson. I've learned that lesson vicariously. In other words, through another person. We pick up newspapers and we see what's going on in the world and we say, thank God that I didn't have to go through that. And God, please bless these people who are going through it. But as we do that, we don't say it with judgment, we say it with love. Let me tell you something that science discovered about light. And you are the one thing we all have in common. We all have in common is we are just condensations of light. Now, your light paints a little different picture from mine. The love that you are has a little different frequency from mine. We're all unique. We're like snowflakes. But one of the things about light, and science discovered this when it moved into the study of holograms, is anything made of light can be recreated from one tiny little perfect piece of that light. That's all it takes. A hologram is completely made of light, and all you have to do is slice out one little microgram, one tiny little ray of light from that picture or that thing or whatever it was made of light. And from that one little tiny slice of light, everything can come back and be whole. And I think about that when I think about the importance of Yeshua finding one fish, and he loved it enough, and it became thousands. When I think about him asking Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes. He wanted him to find that place from which Peter loved him, because that would be the strength of Peter's church. He wanted to be able to, when he said, and on this rock I will build my church. What he was talking about was not the Peter that struggled or the Peter that had shortcomings or Peter the finite human being, but the Peter that finally found that place from which he totally loved Yeshua. And that's when Yeshua said, on this rock I will build my church. Okay, when you find that little piece of you that's perfect, on that rock you will build your life. Now, as a blessing giver or a blessing receiver, this is what it's all about, my friends. It's not, well, I'm sure that the love of God, the love of Christ, the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, and all the grace that comes with it, has a profound healing and uplifting aspect on every part of you. But the purpose of the blessing is not really so much to amplify your bank account, help you find a better job, repair your relationship, make you physically well, get rid of the disease that you've had or that someone in your family has, so much as it is to help you find that place within yourself that has never left communion with God, that has never left its perfection, that stands brother and sister beside Christ, that receives the Holy Spirit in counsel, so that you can be standing in your faith, the rock of your being, strong and whole. And from that, then from the inside out, all the other things in your life begin to get better and better and better. This points to another passage that Yeshua gave to us. He said, first seek the kingdom of heaven, and then everything else shall be given to you. Well, what do you think he meant when he said the kingdom of heaven? Did he mean have a near-death experience and go to this out-of-body place where on high everything's perfect? Of course not. Not every one of us is going to have that kind of experience. And he even went to make that very clear. He said the kingdom of heaven is within you. Well, what in the world was he talking about there? He's talking about that little piece of perfection inside you that never stopped being perfect. Find it and build on it. Allow it to turn your life inside out, and it will start making everything else a little better, a little better, and a little better. That's the way it works. Now, here we are. We're facing 2016. And one thing I wanted to talk to you about, because a lot of people are making New Year's resolutions. I know I've got my own. But the one thing I really, really wanted to urge you to do is include on that resolution to find the place of perfection within yourself, hold on to it, and allow it to make your dreams come true. We're going to have a webinar today, and in that webinar, one of the recommendations, one of the healing practices is holding your dreams in your hand and bringing them into your heart. An interesting thing that happens we can have the best dream in the world, and we write it down, or we visualize it, or we put it in our hands, and we try to bring it into our heart. And the first thing that starts happening is all the reasons why this can't happen, this can't come true, why we won't get it, why something will go wrong. Well, don't put your attention on those things. Just keep your attention on the perfection of your heart that you're bringing this desire into. Let everything else be just on the billboards along the road. Don't give it any power. Just keep pulling it toward you and pulling it toward you. And there will be all kinds of confusions that come up, and maybe some discouragements, and people may tell you you're crazy for wanting that or it can't work. Just keep on pulling it toward your heart, toward your perfection, whatever that may be. And don't allow all the other interjections of opposition to bring down your dreams. But the real key is seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first that little bit of perfection within yourself. Like Yeshua said, let your light shine. You may not be a burning bush at first. You may not be a beacon unto the world at first. You may be just this beautiful little spark of light. That's all it takes. It doesn't take any more. That's where it starts. The place of your perfection. The place where life has always been perfect for you. And yes, we do need to grow. Yes, we do need to learn. But in the end, what we get out of life is not. It is not what we've achieved through hardship. It's what we let go of because we realize eventually there was nothing to learn in hardship. The only thing we ever had to know was the perfection in which we were created in the image of God. Now with that, I want to move into our blessing for this new year. And I would ask that the blessing givers join me. Let's make this a holy, hallowed, sanctified blessing of love and joy and embracing the beauty, the peace, and the power, the inner power with God in every person. And then every person that person shall touch, and every person that person shall touch, until we have touched the whole world. Every one of you who is not a blessing giver, please just be seated, your arms and legs uncrossed, your head relaxed, your attention in your heart. I will begin a prayer to Yeshua, after which you will begin your prayer. However you choose to pray, whatever feels right to you, whatever the desires of your heart are, this will be your prayer. Now, during your prayer, we will be conducting a very powerful energy. It's not our energy. This is the Holy Spirit bringing forth the love of Christ, the grace of God. But we're like conductors. Just live wires, if you will, helping to convey that into the human frequency so that you will receive it in a more amplified way. When we finish, we'll let you know. And then the next thing for you to do is to go and rest peacefully for at least 7 minutes. Don't think about anything. Just be quiet, be still, and receive. And know that the presence of God is with you. So let us begin. Dear Yeshua, please know our love and help us to know your love for us. For in that is the miracle. We ask for your blessing, your encouragement, your hope, your healing, and all the joy that you can bring us through standing beside us in life allowing us to know the perfection in which we were also created. We thank you for bringing to us today the grace of God, the wisdom and the caring of the Holy Spirit, that we may have greater understanding of these things and everything else we need to understand. We surrender now into your love, into your giving heart, and to all that you offer us for now, for this day, and for the coming year. We ask blessings for all of our loved ones who cannot be here. We ask blessings for all of those who would be here if they only knew. We ask for blessings for the children, for the elderly, for the sick, the bereaved. We ask blessings for those who are in conflict today, not knowing that in themselves peace is available. We ask your blessings for us all. Amen. Amen. The conveyance of the blessing is over. Now go and rest and know that God is with you. I look forward to being with you again next week. And bye-bye for now from me.